Oh, good evening. Nice to see you back, Bree.
Nice to see you too.
World traveler. Let's do introductions around.
Judy, Mustin, Violet.
Nico.
Hi.
James.
Bree.
Wendy.
And. So it's nice to see you two again. You were here before. You were not.
COVID, yes.
You were.
Yes.
Yes, for sure. So how did you come to us?
I'm out of town at a conference.
I see. That's one nice way to do. Where do you usually practice?
In Boston.
Not with James.
In his group when he was there.
Yes, he's in
Long Beach.
Now. Long Beach, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's very nice. Welcome. We're studying Okamura's Genjo. And we have come to everybody's favorite part, or one of everybody's favorite part, because it's so bewildering. It's number 8, and Okamura calls it past and future are cut off. Dogen says firewood becomes ash. Ash cannot become firewood again. However, we should not view ash as after and firewood as before. We should know that firewood dwells in the Dharma position of firewood and has its own before and after. Although before and after exist, past and future are cut off. Ash stays in the position of ash with its own before and after. As firewood never becomes firewood again after it has burned to ash, there is no return to living after a person dies. However, in Buddha Dharma, it is an unchanged tradition not to say that life becomes death. Therefore, we call it no arising. It is the established way of Buddha's turning the Dharma wheel, not to say that death becomes life. Therefore, we call it no perishing. Life is a position in time, and death is also a position in time. This is like winter and spring. We don't think that winter becomes spring, and we don't say that spring becomes summer. Do we? Okamura divides this up into sections, 4 sections. The first one is called Life and Death and Self. And he discusses how there are two kinds of ways of understanding birth and death. Sometimes we say birth and death is one thing. I always think of that in the Heart Sutra. No birth and death, or something else in one of the sutras we chant where it's just one thing. It's a knob of being that sometimes it's birth and sometimes it's death. But there's one way of looking at it that it's the regular way of we're born, and then we grow up, and then we get old, and then we die. very simple. That's the ordinary way of looking at it. It's the way we usually understand it. And it's the one that makes the most sense. It's the linear thing, especially in the West. We always like to think logically. But there's the other kind, which is the bodhisattva way of always coming back. Always coming back. So that's a completely different way of addressing life. It means that for a bodhisattva practice, life is as samsara, as ordinary life, is nirvana. So there's nothing to seek, no other place to want to go to. It's just to be here and be with everyone. That's the bodhisattva practice. So we're all arising and dwelling and perishing. And we are somebody, of course, we have to become somebody, and we are, and each one of us is really different from the other ones. We don't know exactly why or how, though genetic studies are getting closer to explaining it. But we're always changing according to our conditions, so we're not the same person, really. He talks next about Buddha's teaching of no self. In the Hindu tradition, there's the Atman. There's the inner being in our heart that is pure, and the wish is to transcend the filthy body, the completely disgusting body. There are terrible descriptions of how icky the body is, in order to connect with the perfections of heaven. It's another version of the soul. Buddha said, there's no Atman. Was a very small thing to say, but a very shocking thing in that context. And one of the big changes that he made in that practice, in his practice. There is no soul that's going to go off to heaven. So Vasubandhu, he quotes, is defining it as the Atman, the self, as a single permanent owner-operator of what we call body and mind, a union of the five aggregates of form, feeling, perception, impulses, and consciousness. It's just an accumulation of form, feeling, perception. And it's a changing accumulation. It's a constantly changing one. Changing in terms of time and in terms of being. So transmigration also, even though Dogen talks about it now and then, doesn't really work in this theory. But Buddha sort of kept transmigration anyway. He talked about his past lives in it during his enlightenment in a wonderful way, going all the way back to the beginning of life and remembering all the different versions of life that he lived all the way up to where he was sitting right there under the tree. I always think that we do have some memory of that somehow, that we live with that when we're developing inside our mom, we go through all those phases. We turn from a little amoeba into something more solid, and then it becomes more and more. At one point, the baby looks like a pig. Looks very much like a pig. And then it changes some more and changes some more until it becomes a human being. It's marvelous and kind of weird. So the theory of karma about being good and not being bad and creating karma for yourself is all part of the Indian belief system, but Buddha's teaching of no essential existence or no self opposed the basic idea of Atman as a permanent entity. He taught that the world is comprised solely of five aggregates that are neither themselves neither substantial nor permanent. He taught that these aggregates are the sole constituents of the human body and mind, and that there is no separate permanent owner-operator that is the essence of a human being. The Buddha said that only the five aggregates exist, nothing else. So we're not like a car. We're not like we're driving a car. No, we're different from that. So if they're nothing but five aggregates, what is it that transmigrates? Okamura asks. He says, the Buddha emphasized the principle of causality, the teaching of cause and result. This teaching says that a person's negative actions cause painful effects, while positive actions create pleasurable effects. But if there's no Atman, who is it that performs the action? And who is it that receives the result? The Buddha said that the self must receive the result of its own actions. We might be moved to ask then, what is this self if it is not Atman? Indeed, this is a common question asked about the Buddha's teaching. And though many Buddhist philosophers have tried to answer this question logically, no one has been able to provide an adequate answer. To this day, almost all Buddhist traditions teach both the theory of anatman, no Atman, and the belief in transmigration. So Dogen, talking about no self, comes down in the end to not knowing. Some people, Okamura says, living in Dogen's time, thought the mind was permanent and the body impermanent. The mind was considered to be like the pure permanent Atman, and the body was considered to be impure and the source of delusive desire. These people called the mind shinsho, or mind nature, and they called the body bodily form. This mind nature was often used as a synonym for Buddha nature, and this misunderstanding of Buddha's teaching prompted Dogen's negation of the idea of kensho, or seeing nature, seeing the nature. Kensho is used in Rinzai Zen, but Buddha said, or Dogen said, the essence of the Buddha Dharma is never seeing the nature. Okamura is very, very complete. He does not leave anything out, and I'm leaving a lot out, so I encourage you to read this. because it's very, very helpful to understand the Genjo for one reason. He talks a lot about rebirth. Literal, he says, personally, this is Okamura, I don't believe in literal rebirth, yet I don't deny its existence either. I have no basis for either believing in or denying literal rebirth. The only thing I can say about it with surety is I don't know. For me, the important point is to practice in this lifetime as the Buddha taught in Dhammapada. Refrain from anything bad, practice everything good, purify your mind. This is the teaching of the seven Buddhas. Tibetan Buddhism definitely believes in rebirth. And when I'm with my Tibetan friends, I start to believe it too, because it's so convincing. They really know that. My friend Tinley knows that her dad was reborn because he was a famous teacher. And he came back, and she corresponded with him when he was a 16-year-old student, and she was a 20-year-old who had just finished high school. It's hard to grok, and yet it was so convincing that it seemed absolutely real. So who knows? I have to say I don't know also. We really don't know. So the section of Genjo, this one, ends up talking about time. The Buddha Dharma is an unchanged tradition not to say that life becomes death. We call it no arising. It's the established way of turning the wheel not to say that death becomes life. Life is a position in time, and death is also a position in time, like winter and spring. It doesn't morph from one situation to the next. It doesn't blend into the next situation. It is utterly, life is life as long as it's alive. And when it's not alive anymore, boom, it's dead. And you see it when you are with even a dying animal. The animal will be warm and warm under your hand and still feeling, and you're feeling the feeling, there's a connection, and then all of a sudden the connection is over. It's just gone. It's startling. And of course it feels like a loss. The connection is so precious. And so much a part of our own life. So this thing about firewood and ash, knowing that firewood dwells in the Dharma position of firewood and has its own before and after. We too dwell in our own position of before and after. Each one of us is our own being time. He has a whole chapter, Uji, about this. So past and future are cut off. Ash stays in the position of ash with its own before and after. He says, for example, when a tree is in the Dharma position of a tree, it has its own past as a former seed and its own future as firewood. When firewood is at the Dharma position of firewood, it has its own past as a tree and its own future as ash. When ash is at the Dharma position of ash, it has its own past as firewood and its own future as something else. If it's scattered on a mountain, for example, it will become part of the mountain and help other beings to grow. Nothing is ever lost. It just changes. They're all independent of one another. Each position is different from the other positions. Each stage of living and dying can only be experienced in the present moment. And the present moment does not have any length. And then he says, if you try to say now, there are a whole lot of minutes in there or moments in there. You cannot say the whole thing without taking a lot of time. So every instant is already over before you have a chance to even notice it's an instant. So there is no way to do anything but just remain in our own period of time, which is right now, whatever right now we're in, and not try to pin it down, not try to see it as running away with us, but simply being as the time, which is what we are actually. Our life is the time that we're in. Our time is us as this moment. The present moment, says Okamura, is the only reality we experience because the past is already gone and the future has not yet come. There is nothing, no actual unit of time we can say constitutes the present moment. The present moment doesn't exist. Time itself does not really exist. But from this present moment, which is empty and doesn't exist, the entire past and the entire future are reflected. This present moment is the only true reality of life as we experience it. And since everything is always changing at each present moment, everything arises and perishes over and over again. Each moment, everything is new and fresh. That's very important to remember. We get so old in our minds. We think, oh, this is the same old thing over and over and over again. It's never new. We never experience the newness of the moment. And yet every single moment is new. I still marvel that I go down roads that I've gone down for 50 years and I see something new every time. There's always something new to see. And that's just a very small thing of it. So, I think that's enough. I'll finish it up next week. There's not a whole lot left, but I want to leave room for comments and questions. So we'll come back. Yes?
When you were talking, in this passage, it seems to initially clearly say that there's no reincarnation. Not the way we think about it, because firewood does, ash does not become firewood. That's a metaphor, like when you're dead, you're not coming back.
Yes.
Like as a person.
I think that's what Dogen means.
Yeah. So, then you talked about Buddha's teaching of there's the teaching of no self, and then there's the teaching of reincarnation,
yes,
which seems to contradict. Because what is it reincarnates if there's no self? But what if it was the all self that reincarnated? Like there is no self, but the whole soup keeps changing. And
well,
coming, you know, like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, if something comes out of the soup every time and we call it a baby.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. But that baby. Well, I guess my mind stops. But that baby comes from the parents. But if you go back and back and back,
yes,
and back
they
and back,
come from their parents, etc.
Back and back. So, you know, at some point there was no parents, right? I mean, I don't know what it was, but.
Well, they came out of the hot vents in the bottom of the sea.
Right. So, I mean, well, so I'm not able to. There was something when you read that. I understood for an instant and then flew away. I think what I understood was that I could be wrong completely, but the only way you can reconcile these two sides of reincarnation and no self is the definition of self.
Yes.
What do you mean by self?
Yes.
You know, like it's not the self that you think of as the self. And that also ties to the bodhisattva.
Exactly, yes. Actually, it's both. That Dogen keeps pointing back over and over that the ordinary mind and the ordinary self is also the Buddha mind and the Buddha self. The samsara is nirvana. So, but it's an insight. So without the insight, it sounds like gobbledygook. And it's... the insight is arrives somehow, and some are able to see it clearly, and some are able to read it and understand it that way, and some can't understand it at all. So I think it's why Dogen says you need to study. You need to study a lot. And what he means by study mostly is sitting. That most of our insight comes from hard, hard sitting. Not just 20 minutes a morning, but a lot of sitting. That's where wisdom lies. That's how we can see how things are for us. You look dubious.
Yeah, the reincarnation thing is kind of interesting. It doesn't make sense to me, but my understanding is that there's birth and death and life is happening before birth, after birth, after death, but there's something that's still present. Is that a misunderstanding?
Well, that's how we can think about it. But the actual experience of your life is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're alive, and so you can understand life because it's you breathing. And you're in your Dharma position, and you have a past and a future, or a before and an after. But it's mysterious. We don't know when we end. And when we end, we are not our life at all. We are not what we are now. So the Dharma position means right now, this life, this breath, breath by breath by breath. until the last time when we breathe out and we don't breathe in. That's the last. And it's over. So it's a big subject, dying. It's a very big subject, and often they say in Zen, you really need to study it more than anything else to really understand, one, that you're going to die, because we don't tend to believe it. It's not a believable thing. We feel so alive, we feel so vigorous and so lively. How could we possibly not be like this? And yet, we know, but we don't believe it. And one of the practices is to pretend or do what Sarah Bernhardt did and lie in your own coffin. Go to bed in your coffin every night so you get used to it. Or simply imagine. Imagine you're dying. Imagine letting go of your life. Because it's an attachment. And it's the ultimate letting go that we do. We hold it. But we, at a certain point, we have to let go. And so often people will coach a dying person and say, oh, it's all right, dear, you can let go now. And then, boom, she'll be gone. It's a mystery. We don't know what happens after, if anything happens at all. We really don't know. Lots of practical ideas about it, but how could we tell?
So is the moment who we are?
The moment that we are.
Is the moment who we are?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're different as soon as we walk out the door. We're different. We change because we take charge of a car, or we catch a bus, or we go get some dinner, and our whole body and mind is constantly changing and meeting whatever the situation is and becoming the situation that we're in. That's why it's so nice to gather together like this and become this. It's very important, really. It's what Sangha is. Well, it's 8, I'm sorry to say, but we'll talk about this more next week.
Yes, I'd like to announce that we are having a Saturday sit.
Oh, yay.
This Saturday from 9 to noon, and you can come for as long as you like. It's an open door.
Right here.
I'll be here at 8:30 if anyone would like to help set up the room. That's the only announcement I have.
Okay.
Oh, and next week you're going to be on Wednesday. Yeah. The 20th, due Wednesday. Here.
I do Wednesday night here.
Yes.
Thank you for telling me.
So
oh, okay. I'll be here.
Maybe it was last year's calendar. No, I'm pretty sure.
No, I'm sure it's true. I'm sure it's true.
Sounds familiar.
Thank you, Wendy. I should tell you just briefly that I just came from a poetry workshop in Big Sur, and our subject was to write about patience, and it was a very interesting subject. We used a writing of Pema Chodron, which was really good, She had so wise things to say about patience. And then we came home yesterday up Highway 1, and suddenly we had to stop in a long, 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 long line of cars that did not move for 2 hours. Sat in the car watching people go south, but they didn't let the north going people go at all. It was in the papers over there today, but it was just a disaster. It was horrible. And we think it was our final exam.
Yes. Right?
And we passed. We passed. We did really well. We had to get off the road and find a bush a couple of times because it was such a long, long way. It was really awful. So patience is one of the bodhisattva practices that are very good to know about.
Yeah.
We do a 1 minute sit.